I appreciate having the opportunity to speak today and visit with all of you. So I'm going to be talking about the first, to my knowledge, citrus cyan actually released for fruit use, as opposed to just being a parent, that has Pancyrus in its pedigree, and we named it U.S. Sun Dragon. So I don't need to go over the details of HLB. I think everybody in the room is familiar with it. And I think you've seen this figure in which last year, the previous year, we had the lowest yield in 70 years, although that was somewhat hurricane related. Had a little bit of a bounce back, but still, based on the final 2019 projections, oranges are down 73% and grapefruit down 89% since the pre-HLB high, just before HLB was found. So many processors and packing houses are gone, and we do have an undersupply of fruit. Citrus production in the U.S. and in Florida are highly dependent on sweet oranges, 66% sweet orange in the U.S. overall, 88% in Florida. And importantly, most of the mandarins of significance and all grapefruit also have sweet orange in the pedigree, which we know makes us especially vulnerable to a strong potential for a severe epidemic when a pathogen to which our monoculture is susceptible enters into the scenario, and that's what we've seen with HLB. So the solution, I'm a plant breeder, is breeding with resistant relatives. The ARS Citrus Improvement Program, likely the oldest citrus breeding program in the world, started by these handsome gentlemen, and it started in 1893. 75% of U.S. citrus is founded on varieties released by this program, mainly the rootstocks, but also a number of cyan varieties. So the story is that the initial use of Pancyrus in breeding citrus resulted because the early breeding efforts of Dr. Swingle and Herbert John Weber resulted in a severe loss of their hybrids as a result of a freeze in 1907. So it ends up that Pancyrus, most of you probably are familiar with it, is a citrus relative that's cold hardy, it's deciduous, cross-compatible fully with citrus, and tastes absolutely terrible. But even though it tastes terrible, the stubborn plant breeders who preceded me have continued to use it in crosses, and we're just fortuitously in the situation where some of the hybrids are showing marked tolerance to HLB. This just shows the divergence of sweet orange from Pancyrus in this dendrogram. You can see quite different on the basis of the nuclear genome comparison. And a comparison based on chloroplast DNA shows that Pancyrus and citrus diverged 6.6 million years ago. Pomeroy here is the one Pancyrus, and this is the main group of citrus species and varieties. So we also have conducted a study in collaboration with the Gene Bank in Riverside in which we looked at 85 different citrus relatives, and that study after 6 years showed that Pancyrus, Aromocitrus, and Microcitrus, three genera that are cross-compatible with citrus, are among the most resistant to HLB in that study, and also showed decreased psyllid colonization. So we continue to make crosses, and as I say, we're fortunate that some of these hybrids show HLB tolerance. So this shows Sun Dragon. I spoke about it probably to most of you in this room under the name Gnarly Glow, but we decided that perhaps Gnarly Glow would not have much traction for the average buyer at Home Depot. And we kind of polled a bunch of folks and came up with Sun Dragon as the name. It's very much like a navel orange and an alligator hide, not the most attractive of fruit. We've got it planted in a lot of locations, and it shows very strong HLB tolerance everywhere. So our release was focused on dooryard use, niche use. We have a couple of gift fruit packers who are very interested in it, and as a breeding parent. But to my surprise, it scored very highly in sweet orange juice trials at our lab, and several of the processors have shown great interest in it. And I actually had a report from one processor that they liked the juice better than they liked the Valencia juice. I'm I'm not convinced that this is going to have traction overall, but we've used it in a lot of crosses. The hybrids are starting to fruit. I won't go into all these details here. This is all in the release document. I'd be glad to send that to any of you if you email me. USDA has a very simple solution for emails. It's my name, ed.stover@usda.gov. So they're pretty large fruit. Yield is fairly low so far, but it's the trees are pretty young. I'm hoping we'll be able to push up to 2-3 boxes to the tree. It's highly pebbled. It can be peeled by hand in Florida, similar to a California navel orange. It's got a slightly crisp texture to the flesh with a mild orange-like flavor and a distinctive zesty flavor note that everybody seems to like. Some people do note a soapy aftertaste before the fruit is fully mature, and that's a problem that an issue that is associated with a lot of Pincyrus hybrids that we think is going to be overcome by continued generations of breeding. A lot of the people who disliked it early on like it now that the trees are mature, and some note a distinct vanilla flavor to it. The trees are very vigorous, spreading open canopy, and the most noteworthy thing about it is its tolerance to HLB. One thing that I think is important is that a California survey showed that there were more backyard citrus trees than there were trees in commercial orchards. My suspicion is the same would have been true in Florida if anyone had ever conducted the study. But if you've been to Florida recently, you'll find that there are virtually no citrus trees planted in people's backyards. So my greatest confidence is that this will permit backyard citrus production again, and I have made the greatest possible commitment, which is to plant some trees in my front yard, and we'll see how those perform, and I expect them to perform well. It's derived from a cross made by Jose Chaparro from a very conventional hybrid that is predominantly Clementine by Orlando, crossed with a female parent that had a lot of pomelo and Pincyrus in the pedigree. So it's been propagated at many sites, and small quantities of clean budwood are available at DPI in Florida, and soon will be available at CCPP in California. So this just shows you the kind of performance. This is a replicated trial, mainly Pincyrus hybrids, but also with some standards. And as you see here, the Sun Dragon, I can bring the cursor up. Sun Dragon shows greater trunk diameter, canopy volume, canopy density, lower mortality than our standards Hamlin, Navel, and even Temple, which early on had showed evidence of being tolerant. If those numbers didn't convince you of anything, this is at year 3. This is a typical Sun Dragon tree in the plot, and this is a Hamlin tree. So it does show marked HLB tolerance. Here's a row of trees at our farm in Fort Pierce, which is not to manage to control ACP or HLB in any way. And you can see that the trees are quite full and healthy and, for the most part, loaded with fruit. So I mentioned that it looked pretty good in some orange juice trials. In fact, our industry, fortunately, for the breeding community, and I think for the future of our industry, has suddenly shown a lot of interest in the potential for including new hybrids in the orange juice stream. And there are three basic things that they're considering. To either hybrid by hybrid, show that it's very similar to sweet orange, have the standard of identity change to include that hybrid. This was done some years ago with the USDA hybrid Amber Sweet. The other possibilities include broadening the percent of other juice. Currently, you can use 10% Mandarin hybrid juice and pasteurized orange juice. If we could increase that to, say, 25% or even 40%, that would give us a lot of latitude to plant larger acreage of these new hybrids and give them a chance to see how much potential they have. As a Florida citrus grower, if you don't, or in any fruit industry, if you don't know where you're going to market your fruit, it makes you pretty reluctant to plant more than a handful of trees. So we're thinking that this would really permit greater exploration. The most broad approach is to change the definition of sweet orange, because we know that sweet orange is not a true species, as was thought for hundreds of years, but instead a hybrid that is about 60% reticulata mandarin and 40% pomelo. And so one proposal is that anything with a similar pedigree and similar organoleptic properties to orange could be included in the standard of identity in the Federal Register. And this is a focus of a NIFA grant led by Liz Baldwin, who just retired at our lab. And it's a collaboration between the University of Florida, University of California at Riverside, USDA, and the New Mexico Consortium. So among the things that we're doing as part of that is first looking at a bunch of different hybrids, a bunch of different standards, and first looking at them for levels of bitter compounds, nomalin and limonin. And they determined that a threshold above 4 would throw it out, and you can see that some of these things were thrown out based on that basis. And 6-49-96 was the first name we had for Sundragon, and it looks really nice with very low levels of these bitter compounds. Similarly, a trained panel looked at the flavors of a variety of different hybrids and cultivars, and one of the things that they scored it for, whether it was most like an orange, most like a tangerine, or most like a grapefruit. And you can see that Sundragon very much scored as being most like an orange. Sugar Bell, that we heard a fair bit about, also tastes very like an orange, but has much higher levels of flavors like mandarin and tangerine as well. And we looked at a bunch of the volatiles. This was work done by Jin Bai in our lab, comparing, in this case, we're looking at just Sundragon versus Valencia. There were about 50 cultivars in this trial. And what you can see is that they're very, very different. The Sundragon is totally lacking in the sesquiterpenoids that are present in Valencia. And you can see that there are other categories like limonene and pinene where they're quite different as well. So it's interesting that this was considered to be very orange-like, but also has quite a few differences in the volatiles, and that's something we're going to have to be exploring over time. So we just made our first selections that have Sundragon as a parent, and some are very promising that we're moving forward with. And we also are just to underscore the kind of opportunity that we're seeing in breeding new hybrids focusing on HLB tolerance. This is a full sib of Sundragon that was just selected. And in July, this had 16 bricks, more than 1% acid, no drying, and decent sweet orange flavor. I say June 1st, it continued to look good through July. So I think there's tremendous possibility. Those possibilities will be greatly enhanced if we do indeed change the orange juice standards, and it's an exciting time to be a citrus breeder. So there are Sundragon planted at 8 locations around the state. These are trials led by my colleague, Greg McCollum. We have new MAC trials with 50 trees of each of the best UF and USDA selections at 3 locations around the state. And there are new trials going out that are sponsored by the Florida Citrus Processors Association that will include, again, the best UF and USDA selections. So do I have time for a question or two? Uta. Well, you could market it as citrus. There's no regulation about citrus juice, but there is tremendous equity in the name orange juice. And orange has actually been used as a fairly generic term. We refer to Pancyrus as a trifoliate orange. You hear of Satsuma oranges. You hear of Temple orange. And so there's some discussion about essentially changing what the orange means in orange juice. In the current definition, you could theoretically use up to 10% Sundragon and still call it orange juice. Theoretically. That probably is open to investigation and deliberation. Oh, it's largely citrus. It's 7/8. Well, it really depends on what your market is. I think that in the U.S. that would not be a problem. And UF has done some really interesting work where they've looked at different proportions of sugar bell with various sweet oranges and found that the consuming public is very receptive of these sorts of changes. Craig.
Oh,
multi-agency coordinated HLB trials. It's a major funding organization that is funneled through APHIS, and they funded a lot of research. If you've attended various citrus talks in this meeting, you will have heard of MAC a few times. Sir? Well, it has not been compared directly to Sugar Bell at this point. Like Sugar Bell, it continues to grow, and I have never seen an HLB-affected, off-color, off-shape fruit on Sun Dragon. The most important thing at this point, so what you ask is an absolutely critical question, but also a difficult one to answer, because prior to HLB, it was not until year 6, 7, or 8 after a citrus planting was put in that you actually started to make money. You were just recovering your expenses for planting and care up until that time. And so to really show that something is tolerant, you need to take it out 10 years. And at this point, we're using surrogates. Initially, we looked at blotchy model as a trait. And what we've learned since is that many things that show a lot of blotchy model still keep growing and still producing fruit, Sugar Bell being a noteworthy example. So for now, increase in canopy volume, continued growth, normal fruit, reasonable yield, reasonable quality are the parameters. Craig actually had his hand up before you.
Does it ever develop a nice orange rind color, or does it stay pretty light yellow?
It's always pretty light yellow, and the color is definitely more at the Hamlin end of things than the Valencia end. And important to note, UF also has a number of Pancyrus-containing hybrids that they're working with, and I think there should be a shout-out to Herb Barrett, who is the USDA breeder that can continue to really make these crosses. And his Pancyrus hybrids are the source for all the UF and USDA hybrids that still have Pancyrus in it. I could not find a photograph of him anywhere. Look in your collection and see if you've got one. You have a comment,
yeah,
June?
Did you ever test it as a rootstock?
We have not tested it as a rootstock, but your comment on your Sugar Bell rootstocks certainly makes it interesting to consider. Other questions or comments? So there are a fair number of people who, after trying this, say, this is my favorite citrus. So maybe someday you'll have a tree in your yard, too.